I hope that when I get to heaven, that all of you will be there. It would be a shame to spend a week at a Bible camp listening to God's Word, seeing illustrations and chalk talks and lessons and all of those things, and go away unsaved. Things are not always as they appear. That's going to be our lesson for tonight. Things are not always as they appear. If you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, we've looked at various times through some of these lessons, but we've not, I don't believe, tied them all together like we will tonight. Matthew chapter 7, starting at the 13th verse. Before I start, I just want to thank everybody, too, for having Joanne and I here. We've had a wonderful time here. We've been to Turkey Hill Ranch quite a number of times for different conferences and things, and we were here for Ozark 1 a couple years ago, and then for 2 and 3 this year, and we've really enjoyed our time with you all and getting to meet many of you and having a chance to have conversations with many of you, and we just wish you the best as you go back to your homes and families and churches and all. But we pray that every one of you is really a Christian, and things are not always as they appear, and people put on a face and show up on Sunday and they look like a Christian and talk like a Christian and act like a Christian, and then Monday through Saturday they go back to their real life where things are not like they were on Sunday. We hope that you're a real Christian, and that means you're a Christian 24/7. Not perfect, but you are what you say you are. You are what you put yourself forward as being. We trust that that's the case, and we pray that that's the case. Matthew chapter 7, starting at the 13th verse, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Because strait is the gate, or narrow, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." This passage, the Lord Jesus is teaching, this is the Sermon on the Mount, not the Sermon on the Mount, but the Sermon on the Mount. And he's winding it up to the conclusion. And he's been teaching about kingdom life and what real kingdom life really is. What a Christian really is like. And here at the end, he's finishing that up, and he gives some warnings that I like to call cautions for end times living. These are things that we will see as the day approaches for the Lord's return. I think we can look around even today and see them. That first video was scenes from the news over the past about 12 years or so, 13 years, real happenings. Our world is like a woman in travail, starts out lightly and builds and builds and builds and builds until the climax when the Lord Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. I think you can see all of that happening these days. There's no prophecy yet to be fulfilled other than his coming. All the prophecies of his coming have been fulfilled. He could come as he said. any minute. He could come right now. The idea of the imminent return of Christ, which we believe, I hope all of us believe, the imminent return of Christ doesn't just mean he's coming soon. It means he's coming like that. The twinkling of an eye, quicker than the blink of an eye. The twinkling of an eye, come like that. There'll be no time, I've talked to men who have said, and women, who have said, well, I'm just going to enjoy my life, and when I get near to the end, then I'll receive Christ and be a Christian. I haven't found a dead person yet that knew they were going to die when they died. You don't get up in the morning and say, well, I think I'll die today. It takes you by surprise, and that's a good thing, right? I tell people all the time, I don't want to know I'm going to get run over by a Mack truck tomorrow. I'd rather have that take me by surprise. That's how God plans it. It takes you by surprise. You can't wait until just the instant before you pass away to accept Christ. You better do it ahead of time. Be ready when he comes. Be ready. And be sure, know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. That's what this book is about. It's God's love letter to a people, to tell you how he loves you and has a plan for your life. And an instruction manual to show us how to live that new life when we have it. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live that new life, and the church gives us the accountability that we need in that new life. I'm sure this doesn't happen in Missouri, but some people, you know, we call them schmoes. Schmoes. Do you have them in your church? Schmoes? Sunday morning only. Right? It comes Sunday morning, punch their ticket, and then poof, back to the world. Got bigger fish to fry, right? Forget about the Bible study on Sunday night, prayer meeting on Wednesday night or Thursday, whenever you have yours. You know, one of the most selfish things in the world, and I'm sure I'm not stepping on any toes here because Missouri, I'm sure, doesn't. It's just in South Louisiana. So, where'd Sonny go? Sonny slip out? Go to prayer meeting? Probably did. They've got a big family thing going on this week. One of the most selfish things I can think of is, you know, on Wednesday night we get together and we pray for people who are sick or having certain troubles and that kind of thing. And I know people who will call in and say, hey, please pray for me. I'm having some physical trouble. And then the next week when they're okay, they're not at prayer meeting to pray for somebody else. Right? Amen. It's like somebody who goes down to the bank that they don't have any money in and says, give me my money. They say, well, you got no money in here. Well, I know, but I want my money. And they say, well, you know, you don't get returns and you put deposits in, right? Christianity is kind of like that. It's a two-way street. Fred's been talking about fellowship. It's not two fellows in a ship. Right? That's a common little cutesy thing, right? Joanne and I were in they call them the rodeo docks Dauphin Island in Mobile, Alabama, and we'd blown in there in a storm. And we decided I was going to take her out for a moonlight paddle in our dinghy. So I thought, well, let's sit next to each other. You take that oar, Joanne. I'll take this oar, you know. Well, when you do that, if you don't both pull the exact same amount, you go spinning off like a whirling dervish, right? A little harder, Joanne. Okay, and then the other way. It's not two fellows in a ship. That's not good. It's joint participation. We all put something in, we all take something out. So if you want prayer from the folks at the chapel, you should be there to pray for others, right? Don't miss meetings. And by the way, they're not services. I'm not going there to get serviced or get service. I'm going there to meet. Who am I going to meet with? Hello? Are you in there? Who am I going to go meet with? Huh? No. Huh? Who? I heard it back there. The Master, the Lord Jesus, right? I don't know if I can count on you to be there. I'm not going to go to meet with you. I may not even like you. And it doesn't matter, right? Because I'm not there for you. I'm there for the Lord Jesus. And he's promised to be there. Where two or three gather together, he says, there I'll be in the midst. Now, in our chapel, he sits on a little stool over here. I told you about that a little bit. So I know where he sits, and he watches. There's Bob. Oh, Joanne's here. There's Joanne. Yep. There's Lee. Yep. Yep. This is great. All my kids are here today. This is fun. We're meeting today. And we sit down, and we talk to him. And he talks to us. Not in a verbal voice, you know. We're meeting with the Lord Jesus. Now, you might say that's just semantics, but I think it's important, right? Well, anyway, the Lord is giving some warnings here about end times living. And the first one he tells us about is these false paths. If you were the devil, you would make the way to hell really smooth and easy. And you'd put a sign over it that says, this way to heaven. And there'd be a lot of people going down that road. Those questions that I gave you the other day, I can tell you, without exaggeration, I think, I have used those questions thousands of times. I might use them 20, 30, 50 times a week. You're not going to catch fish if you don't wiggle a worm, you know? You got to get a hook in the water. You can't sit at home and say, man, I wish we reached souls. Somebody ought to get out there and reach souls, right? The Lord says, hello, somebody. Right? I didn't mean me. Goodness sakes. You wouldn't believe how many people tell me when I say, listen, how's your spiritual life? Oh, it's fantastic. Well, have you gotten to a point in your spiritual life? Let me ask you the same question. Have you gotten to a point in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And they will tell me, just like I said many years ago, golly, I don't know if anybody can know that for sure. 1 John 5:13. Right. These things have I written to you that believe that you may know that you have eternal life. It's a book written. Oh. They had a map out tonight at the dining room table. It was during dinner or supper, whatever you call that evening meal. In the South, we call that supper. They were showing a map. And Brian was describing how to meet at this McDonald's somewhere in Illinois, I guess, somewhere up there. Now they could have just said, meet me at the McDonald's on Highway X, right? Well, how are you going to get there? Well, I don't know. I'm going to get in the car and drive and just do the best I can and hope it turns out all right in the end. And you'd say, well, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard, right? Get the map out. Check the map, right? Here's the map, right? How to get to heaven, 101. How to get to heaven. God has recorded it for us. Listen, if you don't go to heaven, you got nobody to blame but yourself because the instructions are right here. But in those end times, the Lord leaves us some warnings. And he says, listen, be careful because there are false paths, big, broad paths. Beware of the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going there. It's the latest fad. You know, you open a new restaurant in a town, it'll be packed. You know, 3 months later, they'll go broke. But it'll be packed up front. Fred used my illustration that I haven't used yet. And so I'm going to do a little backfilling for him tonight. I used it last week, and he thought I'd use it this way. It's hard to keep track. I have the same trouble. So let's say, I'll find some cooperative fool. Who plays basketball? Okay, in the back, girls basketball, boys basketball. What do you play? Okay, you got long hair, man. Hard to tell. Okay, boys basketball. Let's say you have an opportunity to get basketball camp with Shaquille O'Neal. You and Shaquille O'Neal and five guys, or you and Shaquille O'Neal and 50 guys, where are you going to go? Five. Why? Don't say duh, right? Right? Why? Sounds like? A little louder. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Small, I didn't ask you. Is this your mommy? This your mommy? Is it? Just saying. How old are you? Huh?
13.
He's on the brink of being a man, Mom. He can speak for... Can you speak for yourself? Okay. She's making up stuff. He did say it. I'm sorry I even came tonight, for crying out loud. Okay, real loud so old ears can hear it. It's not your fault in the saying. It's my fault in the hearing. And Mom in between. Yeah, smaller crowd. So what? What's the benefit of a smaller crowd? Shh. Women, let the men stand for themselves, huh? These are men in the making. Golly. Okay, go ahead. Smaller crowd, so learn more because I'm sorry, less people, so more. More learning because more one-on-one, right? You and five guys, out of an eight-hour day, you got more than 1 hour with Shaquille O'Neal one-on-one, right? Shazam. I would take the five-man class, huh? Anytime, right? 50, and then your buddies can say, well, we're going to a basketball camp with Shaquille O'Neal with 200 guys, only 200. You say, hey, man, I went with five. Oh, man, they'd be drooling, right? Okay, you get the point, right? Okay, let's say, do we have any golfers in here? Do we have any golfers in here? G-O, do we have... No, real golf. Me too. Dumbest sport in the world. Chase a little white ball around. Throw it in the hole, take it out of the hole. Hit it again, put it in the hole, take it out of the hole. Cool golf carts. Okay, so you're a golfer. I'm sorry, but we'll see this through. Let's say you have a chance to go, and I'm sorry for this illustration. I don't have any other ones. You have a chance to go to a golf club teaching time with you and Tiger Woods and 10 others. Or you and Tiger Woods and 100 others. And you would say, which one are you going to sign up for? 1 in 10, right? Why?
More.
Yeah, and you're just, like he said, you're just going to learn gobs more, right? You're just going to learn a ton more. Now listen, we know this in every field possible. Shh, now, shh, you're not on.
You,
who's giving the illustration here? That's exactly true, right? You've got a school where they've got 10 kids to a class. You got a school with 40 kids to a class. Where are you going to go? 10, right? In spite of the teacher, the kids will learn more, right? Yeah, that's a good illustration. We know this in virtually every realm or sphere that there is, except one. Listen now, teacher. So, listen, you have an opportunity to go to a Bible study. You and Jesus and 10. No, let's say you and Jesus and 30. Or you and Jesus and 300. Where are you going to go? 300, obviously. It's the better place. It's the going place. I mean, everybody's going there. I mean, how can you beat that? 300 and Jesus and 30? That's a failure. Right? This is the mentality of today. The devil has a sign over the broad road that says, this way to heaven. And listen, parents, kids don't listen. Parents, kids today are learning through magazines and videos and DVDs and whatever realms that there are, that if it's successful, it's big. And if it's little, it's a failure. And so when they pick a church, they pick the one that's got the big youth group. They pick the one that's got the big congregation. They pick the one that's got the big building. You got to be smarter than a brick. Listen, this is bad stuff. This is bad. I'm not saying there aren't good big churches. But in most cases, this is not a good move. Little boy being homeschooled by one of our moms in our chapel went to a youth group at a local church, biggest church in our town at that time. I knew the youth pastor. He's a great guy. He was a rotund man. I thought the kids were going to eat him alive. They loved him. He was like a big teddy bear. They had a couple hundred people in the youth group. This lady's son would go to youth group. They'd drop him off at the front door. He'd go in the door, sign in, go out the back door, run the streets. Check his watch. Oh, time for youth group to be over. He'd come back in, sign himself out, go out front. Mom, pick him up. How was youth group? Fantastic. It was wonderful. We had such a great time. Mom, sometime during the week, being a good mom that she was, she'd call my pastor buddy, who's the head of the youth group, and she'd say, tell me how my son did at youth group. He'd say, did great. I mean, I couldn't watch him the whole time, but I think he really had a great time. Listen, he didn't even see him. He came in, he went out. Then he came back and he went out. He didn't even see him, but he's not going to say, listen, how can I keep track of 200 people? It's a crazy mess. Nobody knows if anybody's there or not. You'd be fired tomorrow, and nobody'd come. How do you move a youth group? Let's say we want to go see the Capitol in Jeff City, and you got 200 kids in your youth group. How are you going to get there? Well, we got to rent a bus. We got to get a driver. Then you got to buy insurance, of course. And you got to have so many chaperones for every so many kids. Then you got to hope you don't lose any when you get there. If you got a youth group with 6 or 8 kids, put them in a car. Drive up to the Capitol. Walk around. Have a good time. Go eat a burger. You can do way more in a little youth group than you can in a big youth group. The pragmatic way of building a church today, and you can check it online, this is pragmatism. And if you know, the idea is if it works, do it again. The pragmatic way of building a church is Preacher comes to town, and he develops a whiz-bang youth group. It draws kids like flies to honey. If the kids come, the moms will follow. If the moms come, the dads will follow. Now you got a big church that's built on nothing. Built on nothing. Have a 20-minute sermonette by a preacherette. You know. You can't offend anybody. Don't preach repentance. Don't preach sin. You'll lose people. It'll define you out of your next pay raise and your call to a bigger church. You see, very few people get called to a little church in the country. Almost always a big church. It's the business of the church today. My little buddy in town, he's been out of seminary quite a few years. They pay him $450 a month. He mows 5 acres every week. His wife's a nurse to pay the freight. She plays the piano. I taught him how to do a wedding. I taught him how to do a funeral. I taught him how to go to the hospital and visit people. Because in the seminary, they taught him business stuff, how to run a corporation. Because that's the church today. Be careful, there are false paths. And then not only are there false paths, but in 15 down through 20, there are false prophets. Be careful, you'll know them by their fruits. And then in verse 21, there are false professions, and we talked about it. The scariest verse in the Bible, I think. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Go to hell. These are people who have died thinking they're going to heaven because of what they've done. These are church members. These are people who look like Christians to all people looking on. But they ended up in hell because they didn't know the Lord. They didn't have an intimate relationship with him. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know, and that's the Lord Jesus. Because of these falsities, the Lord says, verse 24, therefore, because there are false paths and false prophets and false professions, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, we talked about this the other night, and does them. Listen, this preaches for a gospel message. You can use this for a great gospel message. It's not a gospel message. It's a message on being obedient. It means being at meetings. When the doors are open, be there. Don't come up with a bunch of lame excuses. I got to do this. No, you don't. You got to die. That's all you got to do. Be at meetings. Be at prayer meetings so you can pray for other people. Be at Bible study so you can learn your Bible. Be at worship in the morning so you can worship. Get your kids in Sunday school. By your actions, you're teaching your children what's important to you. Don't be a schmo. They'll turn out to be schmoes. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll show you what he's like. Wise man built his house on the rock. Rains came, floods came, winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell not. Why? Because they were saved. No, because they were obedient, and their house stood firm because it was founded on obedience to this book. Don't say, well, this is what I think that means. Look at what the book says. This is what the book says. That's what's important, right? On the other hand, everyone that says to me, here's these sayings of mine, and does them not, I'll liken him to a foolish man, build his house in the sand. Rains came, floods came, winds blew. Beat on the house, fell. Great was the fall of it. Build a strong house, a strong life in Christ. I don't know if you're getting this. See? I don't know if you're getting this. You may be just sitting there, grin on your face, putting on. Did I tell you about my, I've got a recommendation for the next iteration of people? I going to submit it to the Lord. Because I think what he needs to do is have every child, when they're born with a light bulb on top of their head. If you're an evangelist, you can tell the ones that are saved and the ones that aren't. You're looking for the unlit bulbs. An evangelist like a pit bull looking for those unlit bulbs, right? How are you going to tell if they're not saved, you know? Bulb, be really great. Evangelist, pastors, teachers, you're teaching a lesson, how do you know if they got it? Light goes on, even if it's a little dim, right? Light goes on, they got the idea of it, right? Pastor, how do you can only see the front door. Front door looks great. Behind that front door can be wreck and ruin. Beaten wives, abused kids, drunk husbands. Can be a mess. I've seen it. You don't want to hook onto my belt loop for a month. You'll see things you never even thought existed. A bulb would be a real help. Because, you know, people come to church on Sunday, and what do you think? I thought, you know, you guys look like a bunch of slobs. Yeah. All week long it's been like that. You know, I watch. Look at it, you know, tennis shoes, blue jeans, you know. You should dress like this. You should have nice clothes on where you come and you really look good. Because, you know, I mean, you can't tell what's on the inside, but on the outside, you know, it really looks good. And there's a lot of people in the churches that are like that. And they come to church, and they're all duded up, you know, and they really look good. And you say to yourself, they must be a Christian. Look at the way they dress, you know. I mean, they gotta be a Christian. Look at that. Look at. I mean, he is a Mac. Look at those shoes. You know, I'll tell you these shoes. When you don't wear them all the time, they just really bother your feet, and you just gotta get them off sometimes. You know what I mean? Things are not always as they appear. You know, and. And even in the church, it's so comfortable, you know. That old life, I was comfortable in my old life, you know. But, you know, if I only have to go Sunday mornings, I can get duded up pretty good on Sunday morning, and nobody will even know what's underneath. His coats are so comfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable playing a part, right? In the old days of theater, in the Greek theater, they only had men thespians. And so when there was a woman's part, the man would put on a mask. And he was called a hypocrite. He was playing a part, right? Today, there's lots of people play parts. Things are not always as they appear to be, are they? It can look really nice. What a nice Christian man that is. Girls, be careful when you're dating a guy. Young men. A couple weeks ago, I was one. What are you laughing at? You live with this?
What?
How do you live with it? Are you married? You two married? Oh, you should move to the next row. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Young ladies, when you're looking for a guy, listen, people put on a nice appearance on Sunday morning, and there's nothing behind that but fake. Guys can put on a nice appearance for a short time. My wife says, always date a guy. I don't care if you like. If you're against dating and you're on for, courtship, I don't care. Name it what you want to name it. You're hanging around between a guy and a gal. You know, you're kind of interested, hunting, you know. My wife thinks at least a year go together. That way you see how they celebrate Christmas and how they celebrate Easter. What do they do on the 4th of July? You know, when they go swimming. What do they wear? They're Speedos or what? I mean, you know, you'd get to know them, know what they're like. Go together at least a year. It's hard for a guy to fake it for a whole year. Probably two or three would be even better. And if they're my kid, maybe not even for 10 years. Keep the boys out of the house till they're 40. And if you're a guy, listen, the girls these days are really aggressive. I would do the same application for the guys. You see some cute little chicky babe, she's a good number, you think, boy, I like her. You know, she goes to church. The devil goes to church. Right? He knows the Bible better than we do. The demons believe and tremble. Right? Anybody can learn the words. You gotta watch the life. Show me the money, right? Let's see some fire. Big smoke, no fire, right? See, things are not always as they appear. And the Lord Jesus says, build your life on a rock, the rock of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord says do it, then do it. You wouldn't believe the exasperations that I hear people go through to explain. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even the more so as you see the day approaching. In other words, as we get closer to the Lord's return, we need each other more and more. We're going to have attacks on us. And I'm going to need you to be there for me to lean on. And you're going to need me to be there for you to lean on. And don't turn around to lean on me and I'm not there because I'm just a smoke. And it's not morning. And I'm at home watching a football game or playing tiddlywinks or whatever, out on my boat. I got one of my idols that I worship every Sunday afternoon, right? Or every Wednesday night. Listen, you know, the Lord, there's very few things, decent things, that you can't do. Nothing wrong with a football game. That's why we got DVRs, right? There's nothing wrong with a baseball game. That's why we got DVRs. If it competes with the Lord, make sure the Lord comes first, right? And then go home and watch it recorded. And then if you got a little demented mind like me, you can tell him how it turned out before he gets a chance to watch it. Right? There's not much you have to miss out on. Right? I sailed all my life. I just didn't sail on Sunday. Went on overnights. I just didn't go overnight on Wednesday night. Right? The kids got to swim and fish and goof around and play in the dinghy and all that kind of stuff. You didn't have to miss that. Just don't let the Lord come out number two on your list. They're back. They're being okay. Bring them on in. What'd you do, let them off the leash? Her kids were never that noisy. Important to know, things are not always as they appear, right? Stay close to the Lord. He will help you sort out what's real and what's fake, right? That's the lesson for tonight. Let's pray. No, I don't want to come in. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for each other, for the time together tonight. Father, help us to have our antennas up and be wise. Help us to stay close to you. We know that the Good Shepherd will guide us. And we want to please you in our walk and talk and life that we live. So help us, Father, to live wise lives. And we'll just be careful to guard the body and the life that you've given to us for your good and for your glory. And so we pray it in your name. Amen. Amen.